What's up? Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to a fresh new edition of The Word with G right here on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 95.3. Happy to have you along this midday sports talk radio journey. It is December 29th, a Friday, 2023. We're coming to you live and local from our ESPN Chattanooga broadcast studios here in beautiful downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm with you noon until 2. You know how we do it here on The Word with G. I've missed you this week. I really, really have. It's been a good week for me to kind of get away. I always try to get away around Christmas time for a couple of days and just kind of reset, recharge, spend some time with the family, go back to North Carolina. And we only had 3 days to take off, so I'm back with you here on a Friday. I came back last night, made the 9-hour drive or so. I don't give or take, probably more give than take when it comes to how long that drive was last night, but didn't hit too much traffic and just kind of took my time and left at a decent hour. So it was good to get back into town. Good to be back here on the airwaves with you until 2 o'clock. Here's what we have coming up for you today on the show. We are going to be visiting with our Feel Good Friday crew in hour number two. Chase Green and Garrett Tolley will be in the building for us or with us. And Malcolm Harris, unfortunately, not able to get back. He's coming back on Saturday. So he'll be back sometime tomorrow and we'll get him kicked back up in the new year. We were going to have Lisa Ann. I thought that this week was going to be her last, but apparently last week was her last. So no Lisa Ann, no fantasy football segment. That was done last week. But we do get a special treat. The man who is part of the Feel Good Friday crew, a big part of the Feel Good Friday crew, and man who's the SID over at Bryan College, just says, hey, look, I've got some open time this afternoon. I'd love to come and sit in with you if you'll have me. Welcoming into the studio, the one and the only Mr. C.G. Treen, a.k.a. Chase Green. C.G., what's going on?
Dude, it is a wonderful time of the year. I'm glad you're back. We missed you. We really did.
Who missed me the most? You, Rocco, or Hannah?
Rocco, probably.
You think so?
Yeah. I think Rocco.
I mean, I caught him on the bed this morning, and he was not too happy that somebody caught him.
Yeah. We've had that. The other night, I caught him. And I didn't lay the hammer down. And I kind of regret it because he will see how far he can push his limits, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm like, you know, he's almost 12. We're way past that point.
Yeah.
But he's like, yeah, we're way past that point, aren't we, Dad? So he is testing
he
the waters.
He knows.
In this holiday season, he knows I'm a softy.
Uh-huh.
He knows I am. So he's going to push these limits on us. But we might have to do the stern dad voice every once in a while.
I was going to say, I feel like an uncle or something along those lines, maybe a step parent at this point where it's like, I'm not going to deliver the hammer. It's not my child, you know?
Yeah.
I'll say like, hey, man, you're not supposed to do that. Like, and just be gentle about it. I'll let your hand lay the hammer down. I'll kind of guide and get him off of where he doesn't need to be on, whether it's the couch, whether it's the bed, and we go from there.
Yeah, I know, but Hannah just hates when that dog hair is on.
I don't blame her.
It's so bad.
I don't blame her. Like, I let him up on my bed one time for literally a minute, and it got him off, and there was hair everywhere.
It's everywhere, dude.
Everywhere.
And he's not like this long-haired dog. You're not expecting it to be in the mass that it is. But dog hair is just the worst because one night you're just going to be laying there and you're going to lay down your pillow, a little head slot, and then bam, you're going to have hair in your mouth for the next, you know, 7-8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
It is not a fun time, but it is what it is. When you guys were gone, I took Rock on a couple of drives and I've got the hair all over my passenger seat still.
Of course you do.
We got to figure out a way to vacuum that up, but it was all good. I was glad to get him out of the house and do his own thing, but we got a lot to get into today. Obviously, it broke. Y'all have been talking about it all week. I'm sure on Press Row with David and Wells talking all about the new starting quarterback for your Tennessee Volunteers. The future is now. Joe Milton has opted to forego the bowl game, the Citrus Bowl, and he's going to get ready for the NFL draft. Whatever that means for Joe Milton, as somebody who's probably going to be a late day three or an undrafted guy, I'm sure somebody's going to take a flyer on him in like the 7th round.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine he'll go before that.
I think he will.
You think so?
Yeah, he's going to test unbelievably. And there
But then you turn on the film and you're like,
You could say the same thing about Levis or Richardson last year.
But I mean, at least Levis, last year, Levis had a terrible offensive line. The year before that, it's like, okay, that is a guy. Like that, not against Tennessee, obviously, but that guy has shown really good things in college football. I've seen good numbers from Joe Milton, but not great. Like other than the Vanderbilt game and maybe the Orange Bowl last year, I didn't see a lot of great out of Joe Milton.
I don't think you have to have great. I'm honestly, I never really saw that out of Richardson either. But Joe is going to be a draft combine hero. He's going to have sick numbers. He's going to probably come in at, 6'5", 240, freak athleticism. We've seen the backflips. He's gonna throw it a country mile.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to see all that stuff. And there are obviously a very large group of smart owners and GMs, but there's also some idiots out there. Let's be honest. Like, there's just a lot of guys. Like, you look at the Carolina Panthers right now, and there's some misses in that room. And there's going to be some guys that love athleticism, that love this big arm. Like, we can fix him.
The Raiders?
Aiden O'Connell's balling, baby.
But you know what's going to happen is they're going to let Antonio Pierce go for Lincoln Riley.
Ugh. What a terrible mistake they'd be making. I like Lincoln. I think he's a great offensive coordinator that can have some decent teams. But him holding on to Alex Grinch as long as he did... shows me, oh yeah, this guy, he's got no backbone.
Just feels like a Raiders move. You know, they've got something good. They had something good with Rich Bisaccia, Tom Cable before him, and now they've got Antonio Pierce, who is a Raider fan through and through. Hard-nosed player. He's a player's coach. Everybody seems to really like him. Seems like something they might do. I hope the Raiders don't do that, but I don't mean to get off the Vol track too much here.
Yeah,
but, you know, Joe Milton. So what round do you think he goes in?
Somebody will take a flyer on him in the third or fourth.
Wow, really? I was going to say, like, fifth is the highest I think I would even consider him. You think he would go in the same round as Hendon Hooker went?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's a chance somebody looks up. I don't agree with that.
Uh-huh.
I really don't think
Where would you have him? If you were a general manager or an owner or a coach or whatever it may be, where would you have him?
Undrafted. I mean, no offense to Joe, but, like, in game, it's just not there. Like, he just doesn't process as fast as he should. And listen, I can't play it. I can't do that position. I get that. But
oh yeah, we're not sitting here by any means saying we could do it any better.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
we're just analyzing.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things.
Before.
Like, he's just not there. And maybe we get proven wrong. Maybe the NFL, like, there is a coach that can fix him. And you know what? There's always a team. You can always find a thing. Look at Joe Flacco right now. The guy was done 3 years ago, and now he's elite. Joe Flacco.
Oh, my gosh. Looking like Joe Flacco from when he won the Super Bowl back in the day.
Yeah.
Absolutely insanity. Absolute insanity. Yeah, so yeah, I think it would go seventh round or undrafted for me when it comes to Joe Milton. But you're right. There's a lot of idiots out there that, you know, have jobs they probably shouldn't have, and they're going to take, you know, the upside on somebody who can throw the ball, as you alluded to, a country mile, who's a combine hero and can do all the things and has all the sort of intangibles athletically, but not so much the processing speed that you need to play that position at a high level in the NFL.
Yeah. Do you think the Tennessee coaches asked Joe to not play, or do you think Joe stepped away? Because this feels like an opportunity for either or, because it's like, hey, we would really like Nico to play this game against the really elite defense, but if you have Joe and you want to give him one more shot, if you're Joe, you're like, if you were able to make that decision yourself, why would you not play against the best defense you probably played all season outside of Georgia? Maybe the best. I mean, you know, numbers, whatever, however you look at that, analytics people. But if you're getting to play an Iowa team that hasn't allowed, you know, 30 points scored on them, I don't think, all year, why not get a chance to go out there and showcase your skills and try to up your game a little bit? But I don't know. I don't know how you feel. If you think Tennessee was like, hey, Joe, appreciate you, man, but Nico.
I don't think the program or the coaches or anybody went to Joe and was like, hey, look, like, we really want to see what Nico's got. We're gonna let, you know, we want to start him. I don't think they would do that to him. I think if he truly wanted to play in this game, that he would play, and they let him, and maybe they said to him, hey, look, we're going to let you play, we're going to let you start, but we also want to get Nico in the mix as well. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have a full game opportunity to go out there and showcase what you want to showcase.
From Lookout Mountain. And
to everything that you want to do in terms of running this offense and maybe putting up some good numbers before the combine comes around. This is what our plan is going to be if you play. They're not going to sit there and say, hey, you can't play. We want to go with Nico. But maybe they phrased it as, hey, look, you're our guy. You're our starter. You've been there throughout the thick and thin. You stayed with us while Hendon Hooker played. And even though he beat you out, you stayed. We gave you an opportunity this year. We are not going to bench you. But if you do play in this game, just know that we're going to mix Nico Imaliava in because we want him to play. And then it's your decision whether you want to go ahead and do that or if you want to forego the game and just get ready for the draft.
Yeah.
I could see them phrasing it to him like that. So it's like, hey, look, like we're not going to take you out of this spot, but our plan is also to play Nico because we need to see what the future holds for him. And I think at that point, Joe is probably like, he weighed his options and he's like, does it really make that much sense for me to play like 50% of the snaps in this game? Like, what am I truly going to gain from playing 50% of the snaps in this game?
Yeah, because if you're going back and forth, that's a good point of, hey, we really need to see what Nico looks like against a pretty elite defense, against a team that's going to make sure our pace isn't as formidable, and maybe that could be throwing them off. It could be fun to give Nico a different challenge, but also we're only going to get you 50% of the snaps. Or if Joe's thinking, I can't afford any sort of injury, I need to be my absolute best for a combine, because he knows that's where his money and bread could be buttered.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, exactly. So do you feel the same way, or do you feel differently? Do you think that they asked him to step away?
I don't think they asked him to step away. I think you made a really good point. I think that's probably the best way. They're like, hey, we're going to play you both. Probably would like to start Nico. I don't know if they – I think this is a great – scenario for Tennessee. I think this is how they kind of want to do it. We really need to get Nico this, honestly, probably for numbers, for viewership. I think getting Nico adds to the fan base. It's like, oh, with Joe, you're probably getting a heavy under game, another Iowa under. But now you're like, that sparks some interest, baby. This sparks some real interest because Nico's, as he talked about in his little presser, he's ready to showcase his talents for the first time as a starter.
Yeah, he is, and I'm excited to see what he has to bring to the table. Now, just because he's got the hype and because he's got the $8 million NIL deal that we've all heard about and things like that, the $8 million man in terms of Nico Imaliava, does not mean that he's going to have a lot of success, because freshman quarterbacks that have started and gotten their opportunity to play for the Tennessee Volunteers have not always worked out. And we'll dive into that a little bit further coming up next. There was a great article over on RockyTopInsider.com that detailed every single starting quarterback, the 17 that have started as freshmen in their first starts, and how they've fared. And I got to warn you, the numbers aren't great. We'll get into it, and we'll talk about our expectations, our realistic expectations for Nico Imaliava. We want to hear from you. Again, Greg Larnard and Chase Green hanging with you here until 2 o'clock. Garrett Tolley will join the fun at 1. But let's talk about expectations, and let's talk about what other freshman quarterbacks have done in their first starts as Tennessee Volunteers. That's next, right here. On the Word with G, it's Greg Larnard and Chase Green here on ESPN Chattanooga, 95.3. So heading into the Citrus Bowl, Nico Imaliava getting the start, Joe Milton stepping away, and as we've talked about, and when I say me and we, I mean Greg Larnard, Chase Green hanging with you, here until 1, and then Garrett Tolley will join the fun, and we'll get into our Feel Good Friday hour of the show. Feel Good Friday hour for the year 2023.
The Feel Goodest of Fridays.
The Feel Goodest of Fridays. If only we were able to have a full house. I wish Miggy was able to be here to finish off the year right as well. But
I know.
It's all good. He'll be back in 2024. But this seems like the perfect storm, as you alluded to, Chase, for the Tennessee Volunteers. This is like a great PR move. Joe steps away. He's still there in Orlando. He's helping out Nico. He's doing what he has to do to get the young cat ready. And again, I really feel like that it was presented to Joe of like, hey, look, you're going to start, but if you play in this game, Nico's going to play, and you know, if you want to do that, that's fine, but you know, it's basically up to you whether or not whatever you want to do. And this feels like the perfect storm because I think it's safe to say, Chase, I don't know about you, but I'll speak for myself, that it seems like there is more buzz, there is more interest around this game if it's Nico getting the start and playing the entire game than it would be if Joe got the start and played the entire game, or even if Joe started and played and started and you mix in Nico every once in a while.
100%. Because listening to like national pods, you can even hear it's like, hey, I'm excited to see Nico start a game, especially against an Iowa squad. You know, we're 1 o'clock on Monday, baby. You are in like perfect lunchtime, New Year's Day. You're the prequel.
Everybody's, you know, waking up from being hungover from the night before, drinking way too much, eating way too much good food, partying the night away into the new year. And, you know, you wake up around 11 or 12, you got no work that day on a Monday, and you flip the TV on, and there are the Tennessee Volunteers and Nico Iamaleava, the $8 million man.
Yeah. And Monday, you know, being New Year's, which you are now invited to the family functions, we're going to New Year's up, and you know, we're going to be eating some black eyed peas, some collard greens. It's one of those days you gotta eat your health and wealth.
That's what we do all throughout the holiday season.
All throughout the holiday season, you know, you got to do all the little whatever you want to call them, the foods that match the money and the. All that stuff, all the, you know, prototypical southern and I guess northern things too. I guess they do that up there too. But so you're eating lunch and you're a little worried if it's going to be Joe, like, oh, this could be a little downgrade. Because if you're getting Joe against Iowa, you're probably throwing some picks.
He hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions though.
No, he hasn't. Now, because he sails him out at the end zone a couple times.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. He overshoots his receivers.
He sure does. But I think with Nico, you're going to get some fun, and he's got that flash about him. Like where Joe is pretty fast, straight line, but Nico's got that elusive quickness that's just fun to watch. It's fast twitch. No matter what, he's going to get out of there, make some magic happen. It's probably going to happen where he's going to make a couple turnovers. It's just where the game's going to go with freshman quarterback against a really good Iowa defense.
Both defenses, fun fact, have 10 interceptions on the season. Hey. Iowa and Tennessee both have 10 takeaways in terms of interceptions. Now, I don't know about fumbles. Let's see, forced fumbles. Tennessee's got 4. Iowa's got 8 forced fumbles and 5 recoveries. Tennessee's got 4 forced fumbles and 5 recovered fumbles. So I guess they lost one of their own and they recovered it. I don't
know. Like, we got this one back, baby.
Yeah, we got this one back. We recovered it. So, yeah, there's that. Just a quick score update for you. Those of you who want to know about the TaxSlayer Gator Bowl, a team that the Tennessee Volunteers played last year, Clemson against an SEC foe once again in Kentucky. We're almost halfway through the first quarter, 3-0 Clemson. But when it comes to Nico, before we answer this question, I'm gonna pose it to you, because if you're listening and you're a Tennessee fan, I want you to call in and let us know your thoughts and the expectations you have realistically for Nico Iamaleava. 423-648-1051. Again, 423-648-1051. What are your expectations for young Nico against this Iowa school that has allowed at the most 31 points this season? That was against the best opponent that they played in Penn State. So I think it would be reasonable to think that Tennessee is going to win this game, but we really don't know what we're going to get out of Nico, because we've never seen him play in the first half. We've never seen him, you know, we've seen him take just 52 snaps this season. So there's not a lot to go off of when it comes to Nico Iamaleava, and I think that's what makes this game so intriguing, is that we really don't know what to expect. It's the unknown. We're venturing into the unknown. The highs could be extremely high. The lows could be extremely low. We have no idea.
Yeah. And with Jalen Wright not playing also, and Dylan Sampson getting that start.
Or Jabari Small. Jabari Small.
Yeah, Jabari's not
out.
Yeah. So Dylan and Nico, probably your two most, and Squirrel White, it's a combo of three very explosive guys. So it could be a lot of fun at times.
You're also going to see Cam Seldon as a running back. He's going to get a lot of run. Excited to see what he's got in terms of the juice in the backfield, as somebody who might, you know, have a role or will have a role going into next season. And then there's another guy, Khalifa Keith, Heupel also talked about him before the bowl game, and he's another young, talented freshman running back who's going to likely see a lot of playing time against the Hawkeyes on Monday. So look out for him as well. Now, what to expect out of Nico? RockyTopInsider.com did a fantastic piece. Nathaniel Rutherford wrote this piece the other day and went back and examined all 17 true or redshirt freshman quarterbacks that have started a game for Tennessee over the last 30 seasons. And I got to tell you, Chase, the numbers are not great. They're not great. I don't know if you got a chance to read over this article yet.
Yeah.
But if you want, if you have it pulled up, we can go one by one. I'll start, you go to the next one, and we'll kind of talk about each one.
Okay, fire away, buddy.
All right, Peyton Manning was the first one. October 1st, 1994 versus number 17, Washington State. They got the win in this one. It was a barn burner, 10-9. Young Peyton Manning went 7 for 14 for 79 yards. Again, this is Peyton Manning in his very first start. That's what we got out of him against another number 17 team in the country, which Iowa is the number 17 team in the country, I believe. Nope, they're 20th. So close. But he did not have a good game, did not fare well in that first start, October 1st, 1994.
Yeah. We want a little bit better out of that for Nico.
I would sure hope so. Better than Peyton Manning.
But crazy enough, I don't think you're going to get that low, but it could be pretty low scoring this week if this is a true 2 hour. Anyways, next one was A.J. Suggs, September 16th, 2000. And a trend you're going to see often is these guys get thrown to the fire against some pretty tough opponents. This was against number 6 Florida in a 27-23 loss. AJ went 27 of 29, 140, and a pick. No TDs.
Yeah, not a great performance. Just the 17 for 29, as you mentioned. 140 through the air, no touchdowns, an interception. He kept them around. You know, he kept him in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that in 2000. The next one, Casey Clawson, also in 2000, a little bit later that year in October 21st, in a win versus Alabama, unranked Alabama at the time, 20-10. This was actually one of the better performances out of a freshman or redshirt freshman quarterback, 17 for 24, pretty efficient, 213 yards and 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah.
So pretty good debut by Casey Clawson.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness we had Travis Henry that year.
Thank goodness we had Travis Henry.
Thank goodness. Yeah, and then after that, 2002, James Banks, again, versus number 6 Georgia.
Yikes.
In an 18-13 loss. 10 for 15, 168, and a tutty. 14 carries, 39 yards, 35 yards.
Oof.
Tough starts, boys.
Not terrible.
No.
I mean, not awful. There's definitely worse on this list.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to find some more.
Yeah. No, this one wasn't bad. It was a close loss, and he was able to keep him around. Just don't do anything to screw it up. And it seems like Banks didn't do anything to screw it up. So he was pretty efficient, just not super explosive. Ran a couple of times. Decent amount of yards. It's not a bad debut for James Banks. Brett Schaefer, September 5th, 2004, versus UNLV. A big win for the Vols. Pretty solid game. You know, again, not asked to do too much as a freshman. 7 of 10, 123 yards through the air, a touchdown, 7 carries, 29 yards, and also a score on the ground. So again, a lesser opponent, not asked to do too much. They beat up on UNLV.
And his counterpart, which this was the only time that I felt like a dual quarterback system worked with Schaefer and Ainge. Now Ainge's first start came not too much later on October 2nd of that same year versus number 8 Auburn. Throwing the pit of fire against these top 10 teams. It's a 34-10 loss. Ainge, 17 of 35, 173,
ooh,
a touchdown,
hey,
and 4 interceptions, my friend. 4 interceptions.
No! Real bad. Really bad on that one. Really good Auburn defense, obviously, and they made the freshman feel it a little bit in that one.
They sure did.
Jonathan Crompton was next. November 11, 2006 versus number 11, Arkansas. They lost that game again, the top 25 tough opponents. Mm-hmm. 31-14. He wasn't abysmal. 16 for 34, not terribly efficient. 174 through the air, 2 touchdowns, and an interception.
Yeah.
Not awful, but not awful. Just a much better Arkansas team.
Yeah. And a lot of these guys went on to have really good careers in Tennessee. So it's funny to like look at these. Nick Stevens, not a fantastic career, but October 4th of 2008, he made his debut against Northern Illinois in an absolute shootout, 13-9 win, 10 for 17, 156, and a touchdown.
Not bad.
Not terrible, man.
Not bad. Got a win, low scoring, did what he had to do. Tyler Bray probably had the best debut as a Tennessee Volunteer freshman or redshirt freshman, true freshman or redshirt freshman, November 6th, 2010 versus Memphis. Again, a much lesser opponent, not a football school, more of a basketball school. That day got a win 50-14, and everybody thought Tyler Bray was going to be the second coming of Peyton Manning. 19 of 33, 325 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Big time stock up on Tyler Bray.
Big time. I'm actually trying to look up and see that. I would love to see it, go back and see what that game was, because who knows who all caught those touchdowns. God, that was such a loaded roster at the beginning of the year. Ugh, great times. Next up, a man that I have a lot of admiration for. This man took an absolute beating throughout his career at Tennessee. Justin Worley, the Worley Bird, made his debut on October 29th, 2011 versus number 14 South Carolina in a brutal 14-3 loss. He went 10 for 26, 105 yards and 2 picks.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Awful.
Brother, that was one of the worst offensive lines I've ever seen. His game versus Oklahoma, I don't remember which season it was, not too much later, he took an absolute thrashing. I legit believe they might have had 10-plus sacks in that game.
Oof.
Just
wow.
Battled all he could. Made some tough throws. You know, he probably didn't have great stats, but still, it's one of those. You're like, watching this game, you're like, the admiration I have for this guy, tough, bro.
Speaking of real bad performances, what about the 2013 offensive line? Was that one as bad?
Probably not as bad, but this guy was worse.
In a loss to number 19, Florida, in the Swamp, 31-17, Nate Peterman. Yes, that Nate Peterman, Mr. Turnover Machine himself in the NFL. Somehow he's still employed in the National Football League. He went 4 of 11 for a total of 5 yards and 2 interceptions.
Got hardly a speck of athletic ability.
Damn right. And somehow he continues to find a way and find jobs in the National Football League.
He's got to have dirt on people.
He's got to have something on people. My goodness.
Yeah.
It's abysmal.
But that offensive line was pretty bad because Worley got hurt that game. And that's why he had to come in.
Well, he started that game.
Oh, he started that game.
And then Worley replaced him later
in
the game.
That's right. Yeah, sorry. Other way. And then it was Peterman's game, too. The stats don't even tell. He would have thrown 700 picks that game. It was worse than what it seems like. These numbers aren't nearly as bad as what you saw. That guy was shooketh in the Swamp.
I'm sorry. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah, that's probably a direct quote from Nathan Peterman in that game.
Yes. Now, here's another guy that went on to have a fantastic Tennessee Vol career, but a tough start. Joshua Dobbs made his debut November 2nd of 2013 versus number 10 Missouri in a very tough 31-3 loss. He went 26 of 42, 240 yards in the air, 2 picks, 7 carries for 45 yards. So you got to see a little bit, but you're like, oh, this guy can make some turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
A little worried about him, but went on to become an absolute VFL brother.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good in his career. Just a tough start against a very good Missouri team that year in 2013. Jarrett Garantano, October 14, 2017 versus South Carolina. In a 15-9 loss, that's an unranked South Carolina team. Not very good, 11 for 18, 133 yards.
Eesh.
He was okay in his Tennessee career. He just, from what I remember and what I've heard from people, the offense is there. If he was in a better offense, if he was in like Heupel's offense, do you think he would have been a better quarterback? Or
yeah, I mean, those offenses during that time were just brutal to watch, man. There's some talent here and there, but they just couldn't put it together. Those eras, oh, I don't even want to relive that.
I'm sorry that we're making you relive this stuff right now. You, the listeners, and Chase as well, big-time VFL yourself.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue on.
Oh, man. And the run continues against very dominant teams, top 25, top 15, really. Brian Maurer, made his start October 5th of 2019 versus number 3, Georgia. He went 14 to 28, 259 yards, two touchdowns and a pick, but they lost 43-14.
Yeah, not bad for Maurer, but you did skip Will McBride.
Oh, my bad.
No, it's all good. I'll say him. November 11, 2017 versus Missouri again. They lost 50-17. McBride, 16 to 32, 139 yards, a touchdown, two picks, 14 carries, 63 yards, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those times, it's just tough. They just weren't great. They just weren't great.
No, they weren't. JT Stroud.
Stroud. Yeah.
He started November 2nd, 2019 versus UAB, which they got a win. Juwan Jennings took the first snap at quarterback on October 26, 2019 versus South Carolina, but Stroud was the first true quarterback to take a snap in that game, so it's just kind of depending upon which one you want to count. 3 for 6, 34 yards, and one carry for 10 yards.
Mm.
Not fantastic again. And then the final one, just to wrap it up quick, December 5th, 2020, Harrison Bailey versus number 6, Florida, 31-19 loss, 14 for 21, 111 yards, and a touchdown. So with all of this being said, Chase, our realistic expectations for Nico Iamaliava, we'll talk about it next. What are your realistic expectations now that you know what true freshmen have done or redshirt freshmen have done in their time getting an opportunity to start for the Vols? There's not been a lot of good performances. This is a pretty good Iowa team. Everything that I've been hearing from people when talking about this game is not anybody, it doesn't seem like VFLs or Tennessee fans are scared of this Iowa defense. Maybe they should be. What do we expect out of this young freshman quarterback, true freshman quarterback in Nico Iamaliava? We'll get into it with you next right here on The Word with G. It's G and Chase right here on ESPN Chattanooga 95.3. Welcome back to The Word with G here on ESPN Chattanooga 95.3, 44 past the hour of 12 o'clock. Greg Larnard and Chase Green, the SID for Bryan College, the Bryan Lions, joining us, formerly of Chat 10 Sports as well. Always a big part of the Feel Good Friday crew, decided to sit in with us here for the first hour as well. And it's been good to have you because, as always, but, you know, no Lisa Ann thought she was going to come back for one more segment as we get ready for our fantasy football championships this weekend. So if you're looking for fantasy football content, if you have any fantasy football questions, you can tweet at her, see if she'll answer, or you can just tweet at me and I'll give you my 2 cents of an answer. But yeah, should be fun. I've got two teams in my championships. You've got one, correct?
Mm-hmm.
How many teams did you have
this year? Four okay. This year.
Made one the playoff.
Yeah, made the playoffs in all four. First time ever. Felt
nice.
Good. Felt good. We are fourth place in one, and we'll finish third or fourth in the other two.
Okay. Well, you still got a shot at ship.
Got a chance here, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. Dustin, I'm coming for you, brother.
Very nice. Hopefully you'll be able to take it home.
Mr. Njoku helped me out a lot last night. That was big.
He sure did. Mm. All right, so what are our realistic expectations for the young quarterback in Nico Iamaliava? We just talked about all of the young quarterbacks that have got a chance as a true freshman, a redshirt freshman, to play for the Tennessee Volunteers over the last 30 seasons. You have any thoughts on what your expectations are for Nico Iamaliava? Hit us up, 423-648-1051. Again, 423-648-1051. Chase, give me your realistic expectations. If you want to give me a stat line, you give me a stat line, but what are you looking for out of Nico Iamaliava that would tell you that this was a successful debut for the young $8 million quarterback?
I feel like a realistic expectation. I'm going to go with what I think the Iowa defense is pretty good. If we go 21 of 30, 275. Yeah.
And 275.
We'll go 230.
Okay.
230, two touchdowns. You're probably going to throw a pick.
Yeah, I would expect to. Make a mistake.
Yeah, I think we actually probably see a couple of nice little runs out of him too. So I'm going to add that on top. I'm going to say 275 total yards. So
okay.
Like a 45-yard rushing type game.
Yeah, I would say a rushing touchdown for sure. Because he is somebody that will run the football a little bit more. He's got that prowess to run the football. I guess what I'm looking for out of him, you got the stats portion of it. I really want to see how he commands and controls this offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more offensively geared offense than we've seen in the past from other Tennessee head coaches. So I think that's going to lend itself to looking aesthetically better in terms of numbers and things like that from Nico. This is a good, pretty good Iowa defense. And so this will be a nice test for him in his first start. But I'm looking to see how he controls the offense, how he responds to making mistakes, how he responds to taking a sack, maybe making a bad throw, something along those lines. Does he go right back to it? A receiver drops a football. Do I have the faith and the trust in him to go right back to him the next throw?
Yeah.
That's what I want to see out of Nico. As a young player, that's what I want to see, and that's going to help determine whether or not I feel like his first start of as a Vol is going to be a successful one, or maybe we still got some work to do in the offseason.
Yeah. And I think for me, too, like from what we were just talking about, it seems like we think Nico's probably going to have his hand in pretty much all of it. And yes, you as a quarterback, sometimes you're like, oh, well, you look at Kyle McCord this year. You're like, Marvin Harrison Jr. had more of a hand in the process of them scoring points than it felt like Kyle McCord did. I think Nico needs to feel like he dominated that game, even if he has a pick, even if he has a fumble, whatever. If you're getting a rushing touchdown and you're getting two passing touchdowns, it needs to be like, oh, man, he threw a dart and Squirrel just had to go catch it, or whoever else. Insert tight end, whatever. But
Ethan Davis.
Ethan Davis. We'll give Ethan Davis a touchdown on Monday.
Okay. Like that.
But for him, like the mistakes battle back because, you know, we're going to have some drops. It's been a problem all year. We're not the Kansas City Chiefs on drops, but there have been some drops. It's gotten better, definitely. But I think now if we see him have a big impact just by watching it, sometimes you go like, oh, you watch Lamar and you're like, oh, how the heck did he just get out of that and make this 9-yard throw? Those plays are going to happen, and I think that's going to spark this Tennessee team and give us this whole offseason of crazy expectations and a bunch of new bandwagon fans because it's even more fun than it was, and I can't wait.
I'm excited for it as well. How do you feel about it? Realistic or unrealistic expectations for Nico Iamaliava in his first start as a true freshman in the Citrus Bowl going against Iowa? Hit us up, 423-648-1051. Again, 423-648-1051. I put this question out on on Facebook, Chase, and I just want to kind of read some of the responses. Eric Brandenburg says, Iamaliava believer. He is a believer. And Nico Iamaliava, he's a believer, so he's hyped up for Nico. Charles Stubblefield, what a last name. No expectations, just stay healthy. I do want the kid to stay healthy. That would be great. That would be fantastic. But I want to have at least some expectations on the young man. Like, come on, dude's making $8 million as a starting quarterback now for a premier franchise in the SEC. There should be expectations on him.
Yeah.
Fair or unfair, this is the world we live in nowadays.
Yeah, there needs to be a wow factor with him.
Mm-hmm. Eric Andrew Bracken says 450 yards passing and 5 touchdowns.
If you do that.
Wow. Damn. Garrett shaking his head like, no, that won't happen. I don't think it'll happen either, but you do that against Iowa and you put up 35, 45 points, my gosh. The VFLs are going to be going insane.
Yeah.
They say pay that man $8 million more.
More. We've got it. Got all those Ford dealerships up there. Just pay the man.
Right.
Brew McCoy, come back.
Jeff Shoup says to play more like Hooker than Milton. That's his expectation.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Nick Langston, Iowa has held everyone to season lows all year. Anything more than 21 points should be a win for Tennessee. You've been talking up this defense all afternoon.
Anything more, yeah. I would say, honestly,
you score 21 points, you're going to win this game.
Oh, 100%. Honestly, I in my mind, I was like, I think this could be like a 17-7 game. That's kind of, I was like, 21. I was thinking it could be a little bit less than that. I'm like, I'll probably take it. 17-7. But now with Nico, you kind of want a little bit more fun. So 21 is probably perfect.
Okay. Well, tell me, so we'll kind of go right into that from here. Let's talk a little bit about the over-under in the totals. for each of these teams. If you had to guess and pontificate the over-under for Iowa in this game as a team total, what would it be? In
Team total for Iowa, 13.5.
Bingo! Nailed it. 13.5 on FanDuel.
Okay.
Now, home total points. This is for the Vols. Where would you handicap them at?
Just given the spread, I'm guessing 20.5.
I promise this man did not look at these numbers beforehand. Nailed it again. The over-under, 35.5 points. The Vols favored by 6.5. Out of all of those things, which do you think is most likely to happen? Whether they win by more than a touchdown or more, both teams go over, or one of the team totals over or under?
I think the Tennessee win by 6.5 is probably my head lead, but I don't know. I would kind of probably stay away from both the team total overs. That's scary with Iowa, dude. It's so ugly. And we got all this hype and expectation for Nico, but yeah, I don't want to do too much here.
So
they're boring.
Outside of Penn State, they have allowed 21 points only one other time against Michigan. It's the only time they've allowed 20 or more points.
Wow.
But, I mean, you look at the other teams that they played on their schedule, nobody really stands out to you of, like, this is the caliber of team. Like, I'm not saying Tennessee's a great offensive team this year, but still.
Still. Yeah, I mean, like you mentioned, there's nobody on here that has, even Penn State. There's not an offensive prowess up there.
And you just don't know what Nico is and what he's going to bring to the table. That's what scares me, and that's what makes it so difficult to bet on this game if you're a person that likes to put on, throw out some shekels every once in a while on some games. I really don't know how to bet this game.
Yeah. I like the Tennessee to win by a touchdown or more. Like the Tennessee 6.5 feels very good to me.
What if I went like an alternate spread? I would go like 5.5, 4.5.
I actually feel really good about the 6.5.
Do you do?
Yeah.
Okay. The more he thinks about it, the more he talks about it, the more confident he feels.
I just don't think I was going to score. I mean, I don't think our defense is, world beaters, but they're not bad. And I was just...
Well, we have lost some guys. We have had some opt-outs. There's going to be some young cats playing in this defense. That's another thing that scares me as well. Like, I don't know what to expect from this Tennessee defense. Tyler Barron's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. Basically, most of our secondary is not going to be there. Not most of our secondary.
Yeah,
some of our secondary.
Some of them, but
Yeah. We don't have... Now, Boo Carter's not going to be back there.
It's true.
He's going to be practicing, but he's not going to be playing. That makes things a little bit skeptical and a little bit scary.
This is Brett.
We'll figure out how to handicap this game. We'll think about it a little bit. We will introduce our other member of the Feel Good Friday crew. He's in the building. We will get into Feel Good Friday in full force. We'll talk a little bit more about the Tennessee Volunteers in this matchup. We also will take your phone calls because we've got a phone call coming in. If you want to, while you're on hold, I got to go to a break. We're going to take a break. We will come back and take your phone calls when we get back. 423-648-1051. We're going to get to a lot of other fun things in terms of our favorite sports memories from 2023, where we got things right, where we got things wrong. We got a lot to get into here in hour number two of Feel Good Friday coming your way next here on ESPN Chattanooga 95.3.